Matthew chapter 9, and let's read from verse 18 through verse 25. It says, "While he, Jesus, spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said to them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for your grace, your mercy, and the peace that you give those that are your children. I'm grateful for the instructions that you give us from the Word of God. I'm grateful for the accounts in the Bible, such as the one we just read, that can encourage us in our faith and in our trust in Thee in so many ways. And God, I pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, that you would help each and every one of us, that we might learn to trust you in all of our circumstances, that we might also learn to be patient and to wait on Thee, as the Bible over and over exhorts us to do. So God bless as I preach from this chapter today. May you draw each and every one of us closer to Thyself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we looked at three different charges brought against the Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter. There were those that accused him of blasphemy because he said to the man, Thy sins be forgiven thee. There were those that charged him with gluttony because he ate and drank with publicans and sinners. And there were those that accused him, you could say, of carnality. They certainly were accusing him and his disciples of something when they said, Why don't you fast? John's disciples said, We fast. The Pharisees fast. Why don't your disciples fast? But we saw in each of these instances, Jesus had done nothing wrong. Jesus is the Son of God, and as such, he is able to forgive sins. While what the religious ruler said is true, that God alone can forgive sins, Jesus Christ is God. Divine names are ascribed to him. Divine attributes are ascribed to him. Divine acts are ascribed to him. And divine worship is ascribed to him. We even see that in the text that I just read when Jairus came to the Lord Jesus Christ. It said that he bowed down to him. He worshipped him. And Jesus did not rebuke him for doing such. Jesus likewise did nothing wrong when he ate with publicans and sinners, because his purpose for eating with them was to win them unto himself. He wanted them to be saved. And if we associate with publicans and sinners, harlots and cheats and liars and murderers for the sake of winning them to Christ, there's nothing wrong with that. But when we are a partaker of their evil deeds, that becomes a problem. And likewise, Jesus explained why his disciples did not fast, because he was present in the world, which meant that it was a time of celebration, not a time of mourning. And he said when he was taken away from them, then they would fast. But this morning I want to focus on this idea. This perhaps will be the application of the text we look at. Trusting the Lord while waiting. Trusting the Lord while waiting. I want to look at this account this morning through the eyes and perhaps the thoughts of Jairus. Or, maybe more appropriately said, if we were in the shoes of Jairus? What would we be thinking? I want us to focus on what it must have been like for him to have such an urgent need and yet to be met with one delay after another. This surely would have made most of us very anxious. However, we learn from this account that no matter the delays, no matter the obstacles, Jesus is faithful and can be trusted. And that there is absolutely no reason for anxiety or worry. I'm going to look at a number of delays that Jairus encountered in trying to get Jesus to his daughter. But first, I want you to notice the urgency of his need. It says in verse 18, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler." And again, this ruler, according to the other accounts in Mark and Luke, was a ruler of a synagogue. And we know his name to be Jairus. "And he worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead." We have looked in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, and even most recently, at two different instances of Jesus healing individuals. We looked at the centurion who had a servant that was ill, and he loved his servant, and so he sought the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no doubt he thought that this need was rather urgent. We saw where the four men brought their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they couldn't get to Jesus Christ, for the multitude of people, they took off the roof and lowered their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. They evidently saw that their need was urgent. But it seems to me that Jairus would have felt like his need was much more urgent than either of those, because it wasn't his servant that was in need of help. It wasn't his friend that was in need of help. It was his daughter that was in need of help. And you love no one like you love your children. And it was one of Jairus' children that had a need. And make no mistake about it, the need was great. The need was great. It says here in our text, and you might even get the impression as you read it, that his daughter was already dead. He said in verse number 18, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." If you look at the other accounts, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. They're a little more specific than the Gospel of Matthew. In Mark chapter 5, verse 23, it says that Jairus besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And again, the Gospel of Luke says words that are very similar. And so, when you read Matthew's account, don't conclude that she had already died, for that's not the case. But as you read these accounts, Mark and Luke's accounts, you realize that at one point in this situation, people come from Jairus' house and inform him that his daughter has died. And I simply point that out at this time to demonstrate to you that this need was urgent. This was not just some overly emotional parent. Jairus was not overreacting as some parents might do, especially those that don't have a lot of medical training. Maybe when a mother first has a baby, she has not had a lot of experience, and their baby is running a temperature, and they might think that their baby is going to die. And though that not be the case, but in Jairus' case, his daughter was very sick. His daughter was very sick. She was at the point of death, and for all he knew, from the time it took him to leave his house and to get to Jesus, she could already have died. And that's what he was saying. So the need was urgent. And no doubt Jairus was in a hurry, as you would be, to get Jesus to your house to heal your daughter. But notice, Jairus is met with one delay after another. You know, there's no indication as to how far off his house was to where Jesus was ministering. I mean, I don't get the impression that it was a great distance. But you know, regardless of the distance, it must have seemed like forever to Jairus. He left his home to go to where Jesus was, to solicit his help and return into his house. And so in his mind already, this had to be a delay. And even when he got to Jesus, he knew he still had to return all the way home. But the distance was so great that he said to Jesus, "She may already be dead, for all I know. But will you come to my house and lay your hand upon her, so she shall live?" And Jesus agrees. And it says in verse 19 that he arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Again, another detail that we're not given in Matthew's account is the great number of people that were around Jesus and his disciples. In Mark chapter 5 again, in this account of the incident, in verse number 24 it says, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." There was people all around Jesus. Do you know when you're traveling from point A to point B, you can get there a lot faster if there's no obstacles in between. But in Jesus' case and in Jairus' case, you know what? It wasn't that they could rush, that they could hurriedly get to Jairus' house. He was delayed. And I can just see Jairus, and I can just imagine what I would have been doing had I been in his shoes. Again, being a ruler of the synagogue, he was an ethical, a moral individual. I'm sure he was being polite, but he was, "Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. We're in a hurry here, folks. My daughter's sick. Could you please excuse us? Jesus, can maybe you just part the sea of people like Moses did so we could get going? I mean, where's the police escort when you need one?" Really, Jairus is an example of great patience. And I say that by virtue of his silence throughout this whole incident. Because as every time I've read through this for years, I thought, you know what? I would not have been anywhere near as patient as Jairus. I might have been as silent as him. But there would have been all kinds of things going through my mind. But again, Jairus, he knew the crowd knew nothing of his need. They weren't purposefully trying to detain him. Jairus knew that these people also had needs. And while they were not life-threatening, their needs were important to them. And so perhaps he just politely works his way through the crowd, leading Jesus to his home. So he had the delay of traveling from his house to where Jesus was. He has this delay of then working his way through the crowds. But he's about to meet his biggest delay of all. Because as he travels along working his way through the multitudes, I don't know, but perhaps he looks back for a moment and he notices that Jesus has stopped. And he's no longer following him. And he's looking and he's waiting for Jesus, you know, to pick up the pace a little bit. It says in verse 20, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I but touch his garment, I shall be whole." And again, there's details that are left out of Matthew's account. Normally, Matthew's account is rather detailed, but not in this particular instance. If you look back at Mark chapter 5 again, in verse number 30, it says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him because the woman touched him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes?" Again, put yourself in Jairus' shoes. I know he's a much more spiritual man than the rest of us. But if you're in Jairus' shoes, you're thinking like the disciples, "Who touched you? Only about 24 people. I mean, we're working our way through crowds. You got all these loose garments on. Every person we passed by touched you. Can we just be going now? I have a need. I was hoping we'd get there much sooner than this." He didn't say any of that, but that's what I would have been thinking. I mean, is this really that important? Who touched you? That Jesus, he's, I don't know what the word, it's not, stubborn's not the word, but he's not moving. Even the disciples saw the futility of this. "Lord, who touched you? There's throngs of people around here. And you ask who touched it?" But he perceived that virtue had gone out of him. And I don't know, but it seems like maybe there was just kind of a part in the people because they knew who touched Jesus. Because it says in one of the accounts, when the woman realized that she wasn't hidden, she came forward and bowed down to the Lord. And in our account, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, "And Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." But again, during this entire time, Jairus is forced to just stand there and wait. And he's waiting, all the while his daughter is dying at home. But finally, this is kind of over, and they're about ready to move on. But you know, this incident does remind me of another passage of Scripture. It reminds me of John chapter 11, where Jesus purposefully delays his arrival at the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Look at John chapter 11 with me. John chapter 11. In verse 1 of the chapter, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Notice this next verse. When Jesus heard that, he was aware that Lazarus was sick. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. When he discovered that Lazarus was sick, what did he do? Did he rush to the scene to heal Lazarus? No, he purposefully waited for 2 days before he began to travel to Bethany. And we know, as we read the rest of this account, by the time he had gotten there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Because remember, they said, "Surely he stinketh by now." You know, there was, I've heard, and you can't confirm this through the Bible, I don't know where this originated from, but there are some that said it was a tradition of the Jews at this time that the spirit stayed with the body for 3 days. And then after 3 days, it would leave the body. And so some people have found significance in this, and that Jesus purposefully was waiting so that the people had no hope of him coming back to life. But why did Jesus say this all happened? For the glory of God. He says in verse number 15 of the chapter, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. That he wasn't there to heal Lazarus, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus purposefully waited. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because people need to realize I'm not only able to heal a sick man, but I'm able to raise the dead from the grave. And so again, Jesus, it appears, is purposefully teaching Jairus patience, endurance, by the delays that he continuously encounters. So Jairus is delayed in traveling to where Jesus was ministering. The thronging of the crowd created further delays. And then Jesus' interaction with this woman created yet another. But then finally, they're able to continue on their journey to Jairus' house. And once they get to the house, you think Jairus would, you know, be somewhat relieved by this. But when he gets to the house, notice what transpires. Verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, again, they were doing this. This was the custom during the mourning period when someone had died. He said to them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Again, this account is missing a detail, and I want to show you that in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 35, it says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And Luke's account confirms this detail as well. So here the man, he met with these obstacles, and now he thinks all the obstacles are out of his way, and now it's smooth sailing for him and Jesus to get to his house. But before he reaches his house, some come and inform him that his daughter is dead. There's no reason to bother Jesus Christ anymore. And again, it doesn't explain to us what was going through the mind of Jairus. It doesn't say that he said anything at all. But I put myself in the shoes of Jairus and think, what would I have been thinking? And I know what I would have been thinking. If only we had not met with such delays. If only Jesus had been ministering closer and I had not had to travel so far. If there wouldn't have been so many people around that delayed us in making our way to my home. If that woman had not touched Jesus' garments. If Jesus had not stopped and delayed to discover who she is. If we would just not have met all these delays, we might have made it home in time to heal my daughter. But we met with so many delays. But was it time to give up hope? No, Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. Maybe that's an indication of what was in the mind of Jairus. He was afraid. But Jesus said, only believe. That word believe has a synonym that we all need to realize, and that's the word trust. Trust. Jesus said, just trust me. Everything's going to be okay. And so then Jairus gets to his house, and you have the people scoffing. Jesus said, she's just asleep, don't worry. And again it says that the people laughed him to scorn. I don't know if you'd consider this a delay, but it certainly wasn't something that helped comfort Jairus or give him any sense that everything was going to be okay. The people of his own house became scoffers. And here Jairus was trying to maintain his faith and his hope in the Lord, even though those of his own house offered no support. But Jesus said, give place. And when the people were put forth, he went in. And again, he went in with simply James, John, and Peter. And he took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. So again, think about this incident with the point of my message. Trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord even in the face of delays. Jairus, it appears to me, was met with one delay after another. His travels, the thronging of the people, the touching of Jesus' garments by this woman, the servants coming and informing him that his daughter is dead, and then even the people of his home laughing Jesus to scorn. Just one delay, one obstacle after another. All in his efforts to get Jesus to his daughter and to see her healed. You see, it didn't happen like Jairus expected it to happen. In his mind, he would get Jesus. They would rush to the side of his daughter's bed. He would touch her and she would be healed. But that's not at all how it happened. And might I say that what did happen was even better. It was even better. The wait, the delays, and the obstacles, I believe, made it all much sweeter in the end. Not only was his daughter healed of whatever infirmity she had, she was raised from the dead. Can I make this application then? God, for those of you that are saved, you're born again. You're a child of God. The thing that we long for, perhaps more than any other thing in the world, is to be with our Savior, Jesus Christ. But that's met with delays. Anybody get excited when Harold Camping said the world's going to come to an end, the rapture's going to occur? Probably not, but even though I knew Harold Camping was a false teacher, I thought, well, maybe Jesus will come. Maybe he'll come the next day just to throw us all off. Then they had that movie they produced not too long ago. It says that the end of the world is coming in 2012. But we got to wait till December, I think, of 2012. There's, of course, the Apocrypha book that seems to imply that Jesus' second coming will be 2,000 years after his first. Well, that means he's got to come in the next couple of decades. One delay after another, huh? We got to wait. And we encounter obstacles and trials and tribulation. But ultimately, one day we'll be ushered into the presence of God. And all the trials and all the obstacles and all the delays, I believe, will make it all the more sweeter. All the more sweeter. Let me make this application as well. Shepherdsville Baptist Church, we have desired for certain things to transpire here. At least I have, and I think many of you have with me. We've desired for people to be saved, for God to give an increase, for there to be more people who attend, for us to be able to do more in supporting missionaries and spreading the gospel around the world, and yet we've been met with one delay after another. This family leaves, that family leaves, for one reason or another, and it's just another setback. It's another obstacle. It's more waiting. I don't know what God's plans are in the future for Shepherdsville Baptist Church, but if He decides to give an increase, if He decides to awaken some of the people in this community to Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done, and we see people saved and we see an increase come and we see His blessings fall, I tell you what, all the delays and all the obstacles and all the things we've had to climb over, all the waiting that we've done is going to make it a whole lot sweeter. And God may not do it as we expect Him to do it. He may do it in an even better way. He may do it in a way that we can't imagine, just like He did for Jairus. Again, as I read this text and I meditate on it, I think, you know what? We need to learn to just trust the Lord while waiting. Jairus didn't understand what was taking place in all of these delays, but he saw in the end that Jesus Christ came through, that He's faithful, that He can be trusted.
Right.
And we need to learn to trust the Lord. How many times does the book of Psalms tell us to wait on the Lord? Wait on the Lord. It's not surprising that this phrase is found primarily in the book of Psalms, because it's a book that speaks of the emotional trials of believers. And one of the tests, one of the trials that we face often in life is the test of waiting on the Lord and trying not to complain while doing so. The Bible tells us in a verse that many of you are very familiar with, Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Do you think Jairus' strength was renewed this day? "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." I bet to Jairus it almost seemed like he was flying. "They shall run and not be weary." Perhaps his energy had been drained from him when those people came from his house and said, "Your daughter is dead." But I'm sure his spirit revived when Jesus raised her up from that bed. It says, "And they shall walk and not faint." These promises are given to what type of individual? To the individual that waits upon the Lord. Waits. Jairus met one delay after another. We don't find him complaining. The only hint that we have that there may have been some anxiety in his heart was Jesus saying, "Be not afraid." We need to grab a hold of the type of patience that Jairus possessed. And no matter what type of delays we meet, what type of obstacles stand in our way, we just learn to trust God. And maybe if we just trust God, He'll act in a greater manner than we ever even expected. Wait on the Lord. Just trust the Lord. He's faithful. He's going to come to our aid. He's going to see us through. Just like He did here. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the encouragement that we can find from this text. And God, I pray that the Spirit of God would make these truths real to each and every one of us. And God, I pray you would help us to learn to trust you even when facing delays and obstacles. Lord, my prayer is still that you would bless this church, that you would open the eyes of this community to who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for them. And Lord, may we see you save souls here. And Lord, may we see you save our family members' souls as well. And may you be at work in their life. Lord, I know in some cases I've prayed for family members for 15 years and they're not saved yet. But Lord, I pray that they would be saved and it would just make their conversion all the sweeter. Lord, I pray that none of us here would falter and fail, that none of us here would faint in serving you with our lives, regardless of the delays and obstacles that we encounter. Might we know that it will be worth it all if we just allow you and your grace to see us through those things and bring us safely to the shores of heaven. So God, take the message today and use it in the hearts and lives of your people. Encourage us with it, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.